Okay, hello everyone. This is Sherry Boone on October 7th, 2014 with Real Coaching Sessions Unplugged. Today, we're honored to have Dr. Patrick Williams, MCC, as our guest coach. If you've not done so, please do read Patrick's complete bio and see his contact info at realcoachingsessionsunplugged.com. So here's an outline of our call today. Pat will coach his client for about 25 minutes. Then we will interview Pat for about 10 minutes. Then we'll open up the line for you all to be able to ask questions. And then at 5 minutes before the hour, we'll make a couple of announcements and close the call. So Patrick and your client, thank you so much for joining us today.
Our pleasure.
Great. Yes. Happy to be here.
Okay, good. And everyone else, we invite you now to sit back and listen in to this coaching session. Pat, when you're ready, please begin your coaching.
Okay, thank you. So, Sinead, thank you for volunteering to be in this audience of other coaches.
You're welcome.
Given the unusual circumstances, let's both do this. Let's both take a moment wherever you are and wherever, you know, we're talking by phone here. Just find a way to relax yourself, your body, and breathe and do whatever you can to debug your brain and just let go, decluttering your mind. Take a few breaths. And then just put your hand on your heart. Feel your heartbeat or maybe on your pulse. Feel that. Because I want to ask you to really listen and speak with your heart today as much as your mind. Okay. So now we're ready to use this time. It'll just be you and I. And I want to start by asking you, what do you bring to our time together today? What would you like some coaching on?
Well, I greatly appreciate your time. And it was something that has been kind of on my mind a lot lately is the topic of, it's a mindset issue, I'm pretty sure, around resistance. I'm kind of in between going from one level to the next. And I have this huge wall of fear and sort of a panic point, and I don't know whether to push it down and keep going or run back for the hills, run back where I came from. But it was funny. I'm a life coach, and I've been coaching for a couple of years now, but I've been doing it sort of, I call it practicing. I've been doing it for free, more or less. I've, you know, charged a few clients here and there, but I don't think nowhere near what I kind of deserve, but that's what the issue. When I started to try and think about, charging people, panic. And it was like, no, I can't. Well, this is easy. I mean, this is common sense. How could I charge for this? You know, it's too simple for me to charge. You know, that feeling? And it's coming up more and more now because more and more people are asking me, or word of mouth, or people are saying, oh, you coach my friend, and it's kind of referral things happening. And I'm like, no, we're not going to coach anyone. We're stopping right now.
Wow. So you're getting popular and known, but you don't know you can charge for it, huh?
Exactly. And I think my self-worth is just like, hello, what are you doing?
Well, let me reflect on a lot that I heard. You started saying it had to do with mindset and resistance, and you even used a phrase called wall of fear. And then you got to the issue that seemed to be the fees that you're setting. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm hearing that the other statements relate to you being able to set fees and make your coaching a business, not a practice.
Right, exactly. Okay. And getting past the issue of me deserving it, like actually feeling deserving of charging it.
Okay. So how could you imagine using our time together today in the 20, 25 minutes or so? What would you like to have happen at the end that you could imagine that would move you down the path you'd like to be on?
I'd like if maybe we could take a couple of bricks out of that wall together. that fear wall, or maybe just have more clarity or more confidence in just my intention to charge and not be feeling guilty and you know, like there's a lot of people, you know, initially I guess I'm attracting what I am, and a lot of people have self-worth issues that, you know, coming to me for coaching. So I'm like, well, that's great. How am I going to charge people who don't have, money when I know I can help them? But at some point I have to draw the line, because I'm getting busier and I'm running a household and I'm a stay-at-home mom also. So my time's really valuable to me.
So let's go back. Twice you've mentioned, early on you said the wall of fear, and then you simply said when I asked the question, what would you like to do at the end of the time, you said take a couple of bricks out of that wall.
Yeah.
So I love to work with metaphors. So when you think of that wall, you call it a wall of fear, you may just think of a wall. Tell me about that wall. What's it like?
What's it look like?
I just said, what's it like? It could be look, it could be, it could be feel, it could be any of those.
It feels like a, like a big kind of a red-colored, hugely high wall, like with bricks, like almost like a castle or a prison maybe. I don't know. But I'm definitely touching it, and my cheeks like pressed up against it, and I'm just like, all right, let's make a decision here either way. So it's a physical wall.
Yeah, so I'm hearing you have a somatic sensation. Did I hear you say you're pressed up against it?
Yeah, that's what I see in my mind. I see myself, like my hands up, out beside my face, and my like almost like if you're up against glass, but I'm up against the wall, being pushed up against it almost.
Okay, so let's stick with that image of a wall, because I think beyond that or around that or through that, whatever happens to walls, may be something that neither one of us know, but I expect would be exciting to find out.
Yeah.
What's on the other side of that wall?
It looks like a green field, like in Ireland, like a, like just pastures.
And what do you think it would take for you to get on the other side of that wall? Just best guess right now. We're just exploring.
Let's see.
Use your imagination. What would it take? What could you do?
I think it just takes, I think it's going to take like courage. Like digging deep courage, just get over myself. Literally the wall
okay.
of myself.
Okay, now I heard you just say courage, but you also said digging deep. So is that a way under the wall?
Oh, and that's a good one. I didn't think of that.
I mean, I'm just asking. The metaphor came to me. You said digging deep.
No, I don't think so, because I think that's kind of avoidance. I think I have to it just dissipates, with my tension.
Okay. So let's imagine some ways that that wall could come down, be broken. How would somebody do that? How would you do that?
I feel like I need to knock it down, like with some object that would actually knock it down. Like I physically want to break it down.
All right, so let's make a short list of different ways that wall could come down. One, you're telling me you need something, a big object, to break it down, to crash it somehow.
Yeah.
What's another way?
Well, you said under is a good way. That's a great idea. Or you could climb it.
Okay, so under, climb it, you break it down. What else could happen?
I guess you could just walk around it. I can see that it's just like in front of me, so you could probably just walk around it.
Okay. So there might be. Yeah. So if you walked one direction to the right or the left, you might just walk around it. So there's another way.
Yeah.
What else? Let's exhaust a couple more. If you could imagine somebody that's not you. So if somebody that's not you was in front of a wall and you saw them struggling with this wall, what do you imagine they could do?
What do you call those things that tear down the buildings, the little balls, the wrecking ball would do it, I'm sure. A ladder, just climb over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terribly high, but it's high enough.
What resources do you have that you haven't thought about that could be of assistance?
Creativity?
Okay. How would that show up?
Like you know, climbing over it, somehow putting things together and climbing on top of them and getting over it.
Mm. Anything else?
I'm not seeing anything else right now, so I guess the creativity buzz isn't working for me.
Okay. All right. Hold on to all those images for a while, and then I want to go back to something you said earlier, because you said having to do with setting fees and really succeeding as a coach, right, business-wise.
Yes.
What happens right before you feel this wall of resistance, this wall of fear, whatever, those are words you use, but whatever else, what happens right before you're aware of that wall, and then what happens after that? So first,
okay,
what happens right before?
Well, I have one example from this week, so it's fresh. Let's see. So somebody asked me, would I talk to their friend because they're, you know, going through something? And my immediate response is always, I come from a place of yes, so I always want to help. But then I realized that it was another free option, which I was like, I got a bit resentful because I was like, look, I'm angry at myself for not setting my boundaries and standing up for my life. And then I get, like, resistant. So, but that's only a new thing. Before, I was happy just to do anything. But now I know that I'm letting my standards slip and I'm not making myself clear, and that's making me a bit upset with myself.
Okay. And then what happens right after? I mean, I don't know if the walls ever come down, but if you imagine yourself coming up against the wall, you're sensing the wall, then what happens?
Well, I either have to go way out of my comfort zone, which I always do, always. Like, it's never an option to say no and to not do it, or I feel guilty if I don't. I kind of say, who am I not to help someone who needs help, you know? And then I'll be like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Mm. If someone asks you for help, they need help, then it's your responsibility to do it. Is that what you mean? Guilty?
Yeah. Anything else? I didn't mean anything. I was just asking you.
No, that's kind of, that's the fresh example that I have from this week.
Okay.
And then, of course, I want to go way out of my way, and then I want to, like, my self-esteem shows all over the place, because then I want to, like, do everything I possibly can to help them. But that's probably more about my value than what they need help with.
Yeah, so let me go back to the practical. That what you want to use the coaching for is something around wanting to set your fees better. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if you could talk about what you actually want. So let's leave the metaphor aside now. Let's leave the wall aside. How would you like things to be?
I'd just like to be confident in my ability to talk about my fees without letting my own stuff get in the way.
Okay.
You know, to just feel deserving of it and say it in a confident way, look, this is how it is. Mm-hmm. If you want to work with me, this is it. And if not, then that's great too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So what happens now when you talk about your fees?
The fees? I panic. And I just assume that I have to do everything for free. Like, also, when I worked in corporate America, I got a lot of, you know, value from my job. Like, my identity was me doing a brilliant job everywhere I went. And I got paid well for it. I got paid really well for it. But when you're doing it for someone else, it was a different feeling. And then I kind of stopped. I stopped working four years ago. And then I struggled with, okay, so what's my identity now? And then trying to do it for yourself, you know, setting up your own business. It's like you have to be so many different things that I'm overwhelmed. And then the money thing is just a reflection, I think, of my self-worth.
So what happens now when somebody hears about your coaching and they talk to you and they think they want to work with you? How do you tell them what it's going to cost?
I avoid it completely.
So you never close the deal, or you do it for free?
I can't neither. I sometimes have charged like two people, and that was fine. But it was a terrifying conversation for me.
Okay. So if you left this call today, and even after they got even stronger with this mindset, this attitude that you're worth blank per hour or per month or whatever, what would you like that to be? What would you really like to have come out of your mouth if somebody wants to coach with you?
I'd like to do packages. I'd like to do like a per month thing instead of this once off thing, because I don't find that consistent nor effective. I like to have like a bit of consistency in it. So like, you know, a package. Like I did a 12-week package once, and that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to do that. Oh, for how much? I'd like to charge ideally, I'd like to charge for a month. Hang on, I had this figured out the other day, and now I've forgotten. I think it was like $800 or $1,000 for a month.
Okay, so that's what you'd like to have come out of your mouth. Somebody says, I want to coach you, and say, well, here's the way I work. I have this 12-week package. That's how we get started, and we coach so much a month. And for that, I charge $800 a month for this, $1,000 a month for this.
Yeah, depending on what I add,
Okay. So have you said that to anybody?
No, just you now. You're the first.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's out. Oh, good. So it's out there in the universe. So the next person that is interested in coaching with you, knowing that you're going to avoid doing it for free, knowing that you want to be of service, how might you tell that person what working with you is like and what your fees are? Let's practice that. Let's say that I heard about you and I call you up and, you know, so-and-so recommended, said you could really be good and I'm trying to figure out my life and my business and this. And so I want to find out about coaching. How does it work
right
with you?
So but first of all, I would talk about the result maybe of maybe what other people have experienced with working with me. Like I tend, it's kind of ironic because I'm struggling with the same stuff myself, but I help them with emotional fitness, and I usually go to like root causes of issues, maybe forgiveness. I like to do a lot of work around forgiveness. And
okay, let me call a timeout just a minute. I'm going to call timeout if you don't mind. I want you to change this and talk to me as if I'm a potential client.
Oh, right. Okay.
So
how
does this work if I coach with you?
I don't want to. See, I have my wall of fear is erected back up in my face again.
You know I'm laughing with you, not at you, because this is such a common concern. You must know that. So what wants to come out of your mouth? If I want to work with you, how do we work and what do you charge?
We would work together over a 12-session period, and I would like to do 2 sessions per week or one. If your schedule wants to do just one, that would be fine also. I would like total commitment that you're invested in the process, and I'm going to help you go from just to happy. I'm in the happiness business, so I'm going to bring you to a place of inner peace and happiness, and we'll figure it out.
Mm. And so, like 12 sessions, and however we schedule those, what does that cost me?
It would be $800 per month,
mm-hmm.
and you'll have access to me for 2 hours per week, for the however many weeks it is.
Wow. That's a lot of time.
Yes. Well, it's an investment in yourself.
Yeah. Okay. And then let's change tense. Now, what do you think is happening when the person's thinking about hiring you or not hiring you? How is Sinead feeling right now? What are you experiencing?
I usually detach from that part of it. I don't really care if they hire me or not, because I know that I'm going to work with the people I'm supposed to work with anyway.
Ah.
So I never kind of freak out about whether they're going to say yes or not. I don't go that way. My mind doesn't go get like, oh, my God, say yes. I just say, fine, whatever. If you want to, that's great. If not, you wouldn't think I'd be like this with a marketing degree. I've been in sales for almost 20 years.
we do what we need to learn, don't we?
Yes.
Okay, so without making this a marketing call and a mentoring call, I want to get back to this wall and your resistance to even telling people what you charge
or
actually charging. And yet, you just seem to say, I don't care. I mean, they're going to hire me or not. This is what I charge, and I think I'm worth it.
Right. And I think the I don't care is just kind of just to protect my own heart, you know what I mean, from the rejection. But I think I got it. My problem is I'm not prepared. You know, you ease your anxiety through preparation, and I'm not investing in myself in making my little elevator speeches, and I'm not practicing that. That's what's going to work. Mm. Like what you just said, like putting myself out of my comfort zone, talking to myself. So, yes, thank you. I got it.
So what's happened to the wall? You notice any change in the wall right now?
The wall is still there, but now it's shorter, so I can just jump over it.
Okay, correct. Congratulations. Great.
Yeah, I just need to put something together because I'm very confident in my coaching. I'm very confident in my results. But what I'm not confident in was the pre-speech thing that I hadn't prepared.
Mm.
Right? Because I'm an introvert, so when I go to networking events, I'd be just like, I don't know what I do. So I had nothing prepared.
So I'm hearing you promising yourself, and I'm going to ask you to commit to it here, to do something about practicing your marketing speech, your elevator speech, your magnificent moment, whatever you want to call it. So how will you do that this week?
I will absolutely do that. I'll probably do it today.
Okay.
Yes.
And what else will you do? How else will you practice stating your fee, practicing what to say to clients, practicing saying no? Will any of those things come into it?
Yes. I think an idea came to me that I could call like a few people that I've coached and ask them if I could practice saying it and how it sounds to them.
Okay. I like that. So you'll practice. Yeah. Now, this may be my imagination. Did you say you'd practice in front of a mirror, or was that my image?
Oh, that might have been, I'll do that too.
Oh, that was me, but you might take it on.
Yes,
seriously,
I will.
I couldn't remember if you said that or not. I apologize. But you can steal that if you want to. So
I'll steal that idea. I like it.
Okay. So you might practice in front of a mirror. You'll call some former clients and friends, and you will practice your elevator speech and getting very confident with it.
Right. And throw in the old money situation into the elevator speech or what, you know, I'll make a different one around that, around the rates and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you need before we kind of wrap up our time together today?
No, I think this has been really good because it's something that I've not known that I didn't know kind of thing, and now I see it very clearly, so I appreciate it.
Mm. Well, so here's my promise to you, since you know, kind of volunteered to be my client on here, and I always do this when I do free demos and such. It's not really coaching unless we have another session. So I'd like you know how to contact me. I'd like to give you a free coaching session to follow up with this.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay. I appreciate it.
All right. You're welcome. And
yay.
I think you can hang on the line if you want to, Sinead, for comments. I'll let our masterclass people tell us that. Thank you very much.
Okay, but I have to go in about 15 minutes, so can I just hang up when I'm leaving?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, didn't want to be rude. Okay, thank you very, 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 very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Patrick, and thank you to your client as well. Wonderful session, and yes, absolutely, you can hang on as long as you want, Sinead, and just hang up when you need to go. So thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Pat, great session. It's amazing what can happen in a really short session with great, focused, masterful coaching. So really nicely done. Okay, good. So Jamie and I have a few questions for you, and I'll start. I just want to start with a really big picture question about this session, Pat. What was your favorite part of this session?
Well, I love working with metaphors, and I don't like to bring them to the client. I like to listen for them, and so when one jumped out, I went, "Yay!" You know, that's always my favorite part because I think the old adage of pictures worth 1,000 words. If we step over a metaphor that the client brings, we're stepping over a way to shortcut the learning, and so that is always and this time for sure my favorite part,
yeah,
talking about the wall, all the different parts of the wall, et cetera.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it that you said that to her, that you love working with metaphors, and then you followed it so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you just said is so important. If we do step over it or don't realize it, I mean, they brought it up for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason the client brings up that metaphor, right? And there's a lot
right.
of richness there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was great. That was really nice.
I mean, it is. If you look at the core competency of awareness, we're getting to the unconscious without getting, you know, psychological in deep ways. It's the
yep.
unconscious of awareness is right there, and metaphors are a shortcut to that.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Nice. Good, good. Okay, thank you. You know, you were clearly her partner here. I really love the way you just connected with her at, from the very beginning when you invited her to, you know, take some breaths, and it reminded her that, that in this situation, you know, it was just you and the client. But you were so much her partner. You followed her metaphor. There was humor and lightness, and yet you moved her along. You know, you invited the role play, and in fact, even challenged her a little bit, I think, with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then moved her to action. So can you just talk about it sort of overall? What is that like for you to be in this kind of a conversation? You've done it hundreds and hundreds of times, but
mm-hmm.
what is it like for you to really partner with someone in this way?
Well, good. And thank God for the coaching profession because it got me
yeah.
out of being a psychologist. I love it. I love it. Like the statement she made at the end of, I've learned that I didn't know what I didn't know, that's what clients pay me to figure out.
Yeah.
And the fun part is, I don't even know what I don't know. I'm asking questions. I'm going places. I didn't have this prescribed. I didn't even know what she was going to bring to the call.
Right.
So the fact that you reminded me I role played, I went, oh, yeah, I did.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So what I love about the partnering is I'm not only listening, and I'm an active listener. So there was, you know, not long pauses, but I do use the power of pause as much as powerful questions. And yet I'm very careful about using the client's words and not tainting.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the word I'm thinking of, but, yeah, tainting, bringing my words into it too much. Unless I state, this came to me, I want to ask this, like, I think when I said, did you say you were going to say that in front of a mirror, or was that my image? It wasn't
right.
meant as a joke. I couldn't remember if she said it or I thought it. But I offered it for her to consider.
Right.
So I think the whole process to me is it's like a mutual exploration for just them,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to two people talking together about a challenge in their life.
Right, right.
Yeah
I love that, mutual exploration. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I also like what you just mentioned about when you did say that about the mirror. Was that you or was that me? I love that transparency,
mm.
you know, that you just let her know that. Wait a minute, I don't remember, you know, was that you? Was
mm-hmm.
that your image or my image? And
right.
But then it's there for her. She can take it on or not. It's up to her.
Right.
But yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Really nice. I'm going to let Jamie jump in here. Jamie, do you have a question for Pat?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's anything that surprised you about this session today.
Surprised me. In hearing her talk about what she does well and her mindset and everything, it's amazing to me that she has trouble with what she said she had trouble with. But I think what helped me overcome that surprise is knowing that in corporate America, she just had a salary. You know, she was just, I'm worth what I'm worth because they say I am, and yeah, I get paid well. But coaching is entrepreneurial, and so it just surprised me that she had this lack of confidence, and yet I also know, since I teach coaches and mentor coaches, that's pretty common no matter how successful somebody was in another business. This is always a unique challenge for how people want to put themselves out there.
Okay, and so when you have, I'm just curious, when you have a thought about a client, like, oh, wow, that's surprising that, you know, this is happening for her or whatever. Are you able to just let that go in one part of your brain and out the other without letting that surprise inform your questioning?
Oh, good question. That's actually one of the joys of telephonic coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find myself, I find myself making a little note on the side of a pad saying, for later viewing. If it's a thought that distracts me, I'll write it down and just so I can come back to it later, because it doesn't seem to be relevant now.
Mm-hmm.
So if she was an ongoing client, I'm making little notes of other places we might go in the future that I might say next time she shows up. You know, last time we talked, you mentioned this. Is that still relevant, or is that still bubbling around for you? And if not, I'll let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But in the moment, I'll write it down so that it doesn't get us off track of the flow that we're in.
Okay, great. And I guess my last question is, how do you prepare for sessions?
If I have met the client or they're an ongoing client, I almost do what I did on the phone. I will have time before where I sit and meditate, visualize, calm, maybe look at the brief notes from the last session so that I'm And I do have my clients fill out a prep form, so they tell me what they think they want to use the call for, but it's not always what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I really create my presence, and I actually teach my clients to create their presence, to be ready for the conversation. And it's not just hurry up out of a meeting, shut your door, and get on the call. I want you to be prepared, even if it's just a couple minutes. And so I do that. I think of them. I visualize them. If I've got a picture of them, I just know that I'm a vehicle. In this conversation, I'm really just a conduit or a vehicle or a vessel, and that's the coaching process, you know, is not from me, but it's, what is it? It's between us.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Sherry?
Yeah. Thank you. So, you know, just another thing that, Pat, I noticed at the end, you invited her to another session, you know,
right,
and said, okay, it's really not coaching without some follow-up or another session. And I thought that was great that you, you know, just to mention that, that it provides some the ongoing support, but also the accountability for her, too,
mm-hmm,
to know that she's going to come back to you.
Right.
So I thought that was great. Yeah, yeah. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention to you and that I thought was so great was, you know, often I also train and mentor lots of coaches, and often I'll hear coaches over-recapping or over-summarizing for their client.
Mm.
And I never heard you do that. So I love the fact that, you know, that was up to her. And
right,
that was just so natural that you asked her, and she was, you know, she drew the conclusions, she, you know, gave the summary, and it was all about her. So I just,
yeah,
really
thanks. That's, I have a little wisdom sheet taped to my wall here to remind me of that, and it's called "Shut Up and Listen."
Yeah,
that's my wise reminder, because I can tend to get so involved, but in the coaching frame, I'll even use a mute button on my phone just so I don't interrupt.
Oh, uh-huh.
That's a little tip for people. You know, I can always come back and say something.
Yeah, we can always come back in.
Right.
But often it's not necessary, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Another advantage of the telephonic coaching. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, good. Okay, great. Thank you, Pat. So we want to open it up for others now to be able to acknowledge, ask a question. So let's go ahead and do that. All right. So everyone, if you have something that you're curious about, something that you'd like to ask Pat about, please, you can unmute yourself right now by pressing *6. So just say your first name. And again, it's *6 to unmute yourself. Who has a question or a comment?
Hi.
Hi there.
Yes, I really enjoyed it, and I do have a question. Was it a choice or a style? What's Patrick? What's your feedback on the fact that I noticed that it was pretty directive, and there was a lot of let's do this, tell me that, and things like that.
Really? Wow, I'd have to listen to it again. I didn't sense it as directive. I thought every question I said had to do with what or what else or what's that like. So if you heard directive, it wasn't my intention.
So let me just jump in and ask you exactly, yeah, and who is speaking, please?
This is Mariana from New York.
Oh, hi, Mariana. So I'm just curious what your what you mean when you say directive. Could you just give us a little information about that?
Sure. Well, I heard, this is how I heard this, that when the client mentioned the wall, the coach said, I love working with metaphors. That wasn't directive, but it was more about the coach than the client. And then from that point on, it was, well, let's do this. Let's work with this metaphor. Let's, you know, so there wasn't a permission asked to do this as an exercise or to dive into this process. So that's what I'm asking about.
You're going to make me want to go back and listen to the recording, because my memory and what I always do if I hear a metaphor is to, if I say I like working with metaphors, most of the time I just say, you just mentioned a wall. Tell me more about the wall. Could you tell me more about the wall? Now, I know that's not an open-ended question. Or I could say, how is the wall important to you? So, you know, I certainly don't like to direct it, but if metaphors show up, I love working with them. And so I stated that. And I think my question was, can you tell me more about the wall?
Right.
What is that like for you? In fact, that's exactly what I said. What is that wall like for you?
Well, the first thing I heard was, tell me. Tell me about it.
Okay.
So I'm just going to step out of this conversation right now. Thank you so much.
I would answer your question by saying, yes, that's my style. I don't nitpick about direct versus indirect, as long as I'm not guiding and teaching and telling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks, Mariana, and thank you, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who else has a comment or question?
This is Denise, and I have a comment.
Yeah, Denise, go ahead.
I really appreciated it when you said, Pat, you know I'm laughing with you, not at you. This is a common concern. To me, that just felt very non-judgmental. It just, if I was her listening to you, I would feel like, oh, good, I'm normal for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated that comment. It felt like it was transparent, too.
You know, I'm glad you say that, because transparency is something I try to instill in my coaching. And frankly, I did it as a psychology, too, because I think too many of our clients or people that come for help think there's something wrong with them or unique about them. And yes, unique in a good way, but they think there's unique things that are problematic. Mm-hmm. I do have a likeness of being. In fact, I warn my clients, if you're going to work with me, you're going to sometimes have laughter and crazy ideas. That's my style. And that's who hires me. So I do say that up front, that, you know, this is serious what you're wanting coaching on, but, you know, it's not, like, earth-shattering.
Mm-hmm. And I felt that with your response.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things you did that I liked and loved. And when you went back to after she had spoken about the wall and what she could do and everything, you said, so now how's the wall? Or I don't know if you said how high is the wall. It was something about, like, what does the wall look like? And I
right.
thought that was a great question at that time. and she was able to say that it was lower, and then you were able to work with that. I liked how that transitioned at that point.
Yeah, my training in metaphors for decades and also clean language, which some people may have heard about, is the metaphor changes, and when the metaphor changes, you've got new information. But it's the client's information. I mean, it's her wall, not mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I appreciate this today so much. It was great listening to you and watching the flow in the conversation, and I felt like you were dancing with her. I could definitely feel that.
This is John.
Yeah, thank you, Denise. And who is this, Don?
John.
John, go ahead. Yes, thank you.
I have heard Pat do two or three other coaching demos where he had more time. And I wonder if Pat felt kind of rushed. There are times during his coaching where I felt he jumped in sooner than I've heard him normally jump in. And especially when he started working with the metaphor, because metaphors usually take more time. And then I remember hearing Pat say, let's leave the metaphor for now. And so I just wonder if Pat, felt kind of rushed in the limited time he had.
Yeah, hi, John. I think whether I'm doing live trainings where I do a demo or whether I'm on calls like this, this is not typical. I mean, my typical coaching session is like 45 minutes to an hour. So I always have in my mind, and I didn't want to explain this to Sinead, this is kind of a compressed demo. I mean, I can do a 15-minute demo, 25-minute demo, but it's just a snapshot in time. So I probably was aware of the clock and aware of my time to stop, so I wouldn't get so much in the flow that I'd forget that. But I also did everything you just said purposely. I thought, okay, we've been in metaphor land for a while. Now let's go back to her practical question, which was about fee setting, and then let's connect the dots. So,
Pat, when she said, $800 a month for 2 hours a week, and you said, well, that sounds like a lot of time, I was wondering if you wanted her to look at the possibility of maybe an hour a week or 45 minutes a week.
Oh, I wasn't being a coach then. I was being her client.
Okay.
My response to that was as if I were a client trying to tell her, wow, that sounds like a lot of time, meaning it's valuable. So in that role, I wasn't being Pat the coach. I was being the potential client.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot of things I would coach her on how she's setting her fee and her structure and packages. Mm-hmm. And, if I were coaching somebody like that over time, I've got all kinds of ideas. And then that sort of thing, to Mary Ann's point, there are times as a coach, if I know something that the client is stuck with, like lawyers I coached, I said, I happen to know a lot about time management. If you'd like me to put on my teaching hat next week and be a teacher and not a coach for a time, we can do that. And that is something that coaches do all the time. They shift hats, whether they tell you that or not. As long as you say which hat you've got on, I think it's still valuable. Coaching is my vehicle, but there may come a time when I have a technique that could be helpful to a client, and I have some ideas for somebody like her.
And I heard you say to her that her issue seemed to be a very common issue among coaches. Do you want to speak to that, or is this the place?
Well, yeah, it actually goes back to what I think it was Denise that noticed earlier about my transparency. I'm also trying to normalize people's human experiences. So it's like, people get upset about stuff that is just made up. I mean, really, why do all coaches have this problem, or all lawyers, or all entrepreneurs, or all insurance agents, or whomever? Because you make up that you're not worth it, or you make up that the people can't afford it, or whatever you're making up. So I think that's what I was speaking to.
Okay, thanks.
Normalizing.
Okay, great. Thank you, John. Yeah, and thanks, Pat. And I think I just want to follow up on something you said. I think it really is important to, like, as you said, if something is over time, you're with a client, and there are times when you might offer something, whether it be mentoring, giving it some suggestions, but to be really clear about that. And I think that's important. I really do.
Well,
you say, you know,
the,
next week I'm going to put on my if you want to talk about this offline, or if you want me to be on with my teaching hat, I just think it's important, because then we really train our clients also the difference between coaching and other modalities, right?
Well, we know that a lot of coaches coach other coaches or mentor other coaches. So in that regard, you're not just coaching. You might be mentoring or training or teaching.
Right.
Techniques.
Right. Yeah. And so, and many coaches, of course, have sort of a hybrid practice where they're doing all kinds of different things. I like to be the banner for that, to say, if you do that, great, but just let your clients know that's what you're doing.
Yes, right.
Yeah, nice. Great. Something, another follow-up, then we'll take one more question. And that is the point about you. I just want to comment on your natural, the natural conversation quality to this coaching session. You know, even though you were thinking about the time and it was a little bit shorter than your normal coaching sessions, but there was just that natural style and conversational quality, I would say, Pat, to this session, whereas you were able to say to her, you know, laugh with her and also say, now, wait a minute, I want you to, and you did interrupt at one point to say,
yes,
you know, I want you to talk to me as if I'm your client, rather than, you know, off here in general. And you really, and she came right in and did that. And it worked very well. But there was just that sort of natural style that you had. I mean, comfortable style, I would say.
Yeah, that's a more, I like the word comfortable. And I do remember interrupting. And people need to remember that is a skill in the competencies of coaching. You know, proper interruption is actually, I think, part of direct communication. I'm not sure, but it's somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's somewhere in there.
While, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you're using your own, you know, your own judgment, your own, following your own instincts, your own intuition at that point as a coach when to do that. Yeah. So how about one more question? Anybody?
Hello, this is Thea.
Yes, Thea, go ahead.
Yeah, in terms of that interruption, I had noticed that, you know, when you asked her what resources do you have that you haven't thought about already, and she said creativity, and then she went into, I guess creativity is not working. Instead of exploring that or anything, you immediately diverted and said, okay, let's go back. What happens right after, right before you're aware of that wall? And then what happens right after that? And then she went straight, she went then there, and then she says, you know, she gets into a comfort zone or feels guilty, and that was the after bit. And then she said, I didn't mean anything. You said, I didn't mean anything by that. I was just asking, because she said to you, is that what you meant? And I realized,
so what's your question?
This intention, did you have an intention to then interrupt in those places? And you had gone one more right after that, which is you then said, let's go back now to the practical. Let's go back to what you actually want. And then dropped into that. Was that all sort of to take her out of those zones, or just in the moment sort of intuitive coaching?
In the moment, because I don't have a place I'm taking her.
I mean
that would be wrong for me to know where I want to take her. So here's an interesting comment, and I love these calls that you're doing, Sherry and Jamie and this, because all of you that are listening could have coached Sinead, and you might have done it totally differently, totally beautifully. But, you know, you heard me. That's my style. It seemed to work for the client, and I could go back and listen to the recording and go, oh, I wish I had done that instead of this. And that's how we get better. Coaching is not a state of perfection. And in fact, I don't think mastery ever comes. I think it's a process. But I never, I don't say never. I did have an intention in that. In that question, and she didn't go there. Did you notice that every resource she had was by herself?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't ask for any other help. She didn't have anybody driving a truck with a wrecking ball. She didn't have somebody come from AAA and knock the wall down. Those would be things to explore in further questions, is why is she doing all this by herself? But I didn't go there in this session. It was a thought I wrote down on the side of my notepad.
Yeah. And you know what, Pat, I really like this point that it is, you know, we all have our own styles.
Right.
And the competencies can show up in our own. It's not about everybody sounding exactly the same, thank goodness, right? Because we all do have our own styles. And the competencies can show up within those. And so we are, yes, coaching will, there are many paths in any coaching session, as we know, many, many different paths. And all of us are going to do things a little bit differently. But I what I love is the, you know, you being willing to come here and showcase a coaching session so that we can really see and experience, listen to, and learn, oh, there's an interesting idea, or, oh, watch how he did that, and really sort of unpack a coaching session. So.
And even if people say, oh, I would never do that.
Right. That's good. That's great. Yeah, exactly. Okay, thank you so much. Jamie, I'm going to turn it over to you right now.
Okay, great. Wonderful questions. Thank you. Thank you, Pat. And thank you, everyone who participated in that conversation. So I have a question for those of you who are listening to just take a moment and think for yourself, what are your takeaways? What is your learning from today's session? What's something that you'll be able to take into your own coaching or into your personal life that's of value to you?
This is John.
Yes.
What Pat just said about, I noticed she was doing it all alone, that was incredibly significant for me.
Great. Thanks, John. Who else? A takeaway.
This is Denise again, and the transparency, and also when Pat said that he listens for metaphors that the clients bring, and he doesn't bring them in himself, something that for me to think about. And I can understand why.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good. So thanks, everyone. And in closing today, again, I want to thank you so much, Patrick Williams, for your masterful coaching.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and mute the line, and then we have a special announcement, and I will give the final password.
Okay, Jamie, are you still with us? I'm wondering if Jamie muted herself. Jamie? Okay, I'm going to go ahead. I'm not sure what happened. So I'm going to go ahead with our announcement. So we do have a special announcement. For those of you who are renewing your ICF credential in 2014, Jamie and I offer a class called Deeper Conversations Coaching. It allows you to earn anywhere from 3 up to 40 CCEUs, all in the core competencies. The class started in September, but there is still time to enroll and come along and earn the CCEUs that you need. The course will complete by mid-December, so please read all about it and register at deeperconversationscoaching.com. Next month, we will feature Tammy Turner, MCC. The call will be on November 4th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and we hope that you will join us. And now we're going to stop the recording and give the final code word. So hold on just one moment.